Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing, your gals. We're back. We're talking about self-care, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, we've got new thoughts. We're feeding off of your thoughts, which are always way better than our thoughts. If you're new here, please enjoy and get involved on the Instagram to participate in all of the exciting questions that we do.
Send us beautiful messages. Send us your thoughts. Send us packages. Send us little self-care gear.
Fan mail.
You know.
Yeah, hampers, checks.
And I can't wait.
Hope you enjoy. Right, homework? I'm getting in there before you ask me.
Oh, God. Okay. So, yes, I've done my homework. What was the homework? I mean, for the listener, to recap.
The homework was to support a woman in some way with her business, give her a lovely message, that sort of thing.
Well, I was thinking this through. I was thinking, who can I support? Who can I support? Then I thought, let's look within my own home. I have a sister. Basically, I was trying to scam her about a week ago, and she said she's basically started doing, like, you know, like painting acrylic nails and like selling them or something on Depop, I believe.
Oh, that's fun.
And she's pretty good. So I thought, she was saying ages ago, oh yeah, I can do yours and I'll reduce the price. And I, being a little scammer,
you were trying to get a discount.
I've learned from my brother, who is the ultimate haggler, and I was saying no, and I somehow managed to kind of convince her to pay me so that she could do my nails, pay me, and I would give her a review.
Wow.
Which is pretty evil of me.
It's quite crazy.
It's quite insane. But that's the kind of persuasive nature,
yeah,
I have.
Nice.
Clearly. So I had almost persuaded her, but then we kind of came to an agreement of like £3, which is not enough money to pay to get your nails done.
You're quite desperate for cash at the moment, aren't you? You're quite strapped for cash.
Not even. I just get
trying
a thrill.
Trying to get £3 off your little sister.
I actually get a thrill from a price drop.
You do. Oh, I know you do.
Which is quite mad because I've never been that person, but my brother is the kind of person that like buys in bulk.
He's making profit on God knows what as we speak.
If you've listened to before, I mean, he monetizes at the best of times. He sells. There are always people coming to the house to buy weird shit from Charles. It's strange. It's very strange. Kind of off like Facebook Marketplace. It's like, and he's like a 16-year-old boy. It's a bit weird, to be honest.
It's amazing. It's a real business strategy. It's kind of, he's Alan Sugar.
Yeah.
That's your little brother.
But yeah, so then I just thought yesterday, oh, fuck off. Pay the full fucking £14 or whatever it is to get some nails done.
You thought yesterday, oh shit, I'll use this as my homework.
Yeah, I did. I thought, let's not scam my own family member and try and haggle down so that she pays me to do my nails for the privilege of doing my nails. Also,
yeah.
I do bite my nails like nobody's fucking business. So I do actually need some acrylics on because they are looking horrendous.
Well, that sounds like a fun thing to have. What kind of paint situation is she doing?
Well, she's always been really good at nail art. She's an artist, for anyone that doesn't know. She's done her TikTok name on her own nails, which is bizarre.
Oh, I love that. What are you going to get? Have you thought about it?
I haven't really thought about it. I'm just going to let her do her thing, I think.
Since you're giving her the privilege of doing your nails.
Yeah, I'm just going to fucking pay the price. That's my homework.
That's nice.
Just going to pay someone the money they deserve.
Well, I know that takes a lot, so good for you. Well done. 10 out of 10 homework.
Thanks. What about you?
Mine was pretty, well, I think it was quite sweet. There's this girl who does I'll give her at. It's at Customs by Leanne on Instagram.
Oh yeah. You have some shoes by her.
And I have some shoes by her. So she paints lots of things actually, but I think she started or like was kind of known for painting on Air Force One. So I got a pair maybe the year before. Really cool. They're like astrology ones. They've got kind of the zodiac on them. They're really cool. I still wear them all the time.
Yeah, they're stunning.
And she's been honestly really, I hate to say killing it. Hashtag girl boss. But she's really killing it. Like she did a campaign for like cat boots.
Oh wow, okay.
I've really kind of watched her. You know, you really watch someone grow, which I'm sure is how some of you feel about us.
Oh, I love it.
So I kind of gave her a message. I was like, I mean, literally everything she does is the best thing I've ever seen. It's like that kind of thing. I'm like, wow. Like, and I just love like, oh, you did that from your bedroom, I assume. I'm literally making up her sob story.
She's like, no, I literally have a studio. Do not underestimate me.
I've signed her up for the X Factor.
She's like, don't be so patronizing.
Yeah, but she started this. I mean, I just love it to see someone literally just have an idea and go and do it. Because I think that's really hard.
So powerful.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so nice. Who did everyone else message and who did everyone else support? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, same. Wish you were here, guys.
Please everyone message in and tell us who.
Wish you were fucking here.
Honestly, wish you were here, guys.
Anyway, shall we get into it? Self-care. Fun fact.
Yeah, go on.
We actually postponed this episode. We were supposed to record yesterday, but we postponed it for a bit of self-care.
We literally got on FaceTime, got the microphones out, got ready to go. We did our affirmations in our own minds, I'm sure. Yeah. We're ready to go. And we just said, we spoke for about fucking 2 hours on FaceTime. Ridiculous. Not a productive use of time. The capitalist in me is screaming.
We were literally finding anything to talk about other than start recording.
And then we just thought, are we feeling this? We're about to do an episode on self-care and tell everyone, guys, give yourself a break. But we were overworking ourselves. I mean, I was absolutely exhaustedoed that day.
Exhaustedoed.
I genuinely thought I was about to die that day, and we were going to force ourselves to do an episode on self-care. It's insane.
Yeah, it just wasn't happening. No. And to be honest, I came to the FaceTime thinking, I'm not recording today. Don't know about Seffi, but I'm not doing this.
Well, I'd forced myself. I was honestly like...
Yeah, you were a Capricorn trooper.
Yeah, I was like, you fucking bitch, you better fucking do this.
And my Pisces moon was like, get me the fuck out of here and back to bed.
And I completely agree. What were we doing? Why on earth were we sitting in front of FaceTime feeling absolutely knackered? I mean, I'm so glad we postponed.
Me too. I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling the fire today. I said to Seffi earlier, I'm feeling very empowered today. Yes, I'm an arsehole.
Which is music to my fucking ears.
So pretentious.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. Because also, it's very rare that you feel, not you, one feels in their own body, God, I feel powerful today. Mm. Like, that's a very important feeling for women to feel and for anyone to feel, but especially for women. So I'm obsessed.
I love it. And I'm actually really excited to talk about self-care. If you don't know, self-care was actually kind of our thing for a bit.
It's actually fucking weird, actually. When I think about what we start...
It is kind of weird.
Go on. It's fucking weird that we did this, though.
The first kind of post that we did that kind of... It didn't really take off. It was quite well received at the time.
Kind of all our friends liked it and we thought, God, we're famous.
Yeah. Our friends really did like it. Then they started to hate everything else we did. Anyway, I know Seffi's going to cut that.
Yeah, no, I won't cut it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's real. It's trauma and it's heartbreak, but it's real. Yeah.
It's real. We did a post on self-care and it really was quite validated by kind of everyone around us. And it did quite well on the Instagram. And we really were quite strong in those views at the time. I think our views have changed since. So go on, take it away. What was it about?
We basically made a post. I remember it was bright red with kind of pink writing or something.
It was pink and red, my old favourites palette. I still do love that.
I love the palette, but it was just, I mean, we made it on Canva. Like, we were still working on basic templates. I mean, we found Canva from some fucking old job that I used to do where I used to make little graphics and stuff. We were like, right, this will work. And it's like, no, you do actually need to evolve aesthetically. Even though I do love Canva, if you use Canva, I mean, no shade. You can do some cool things.
Yeah, if you have a small business.
Start with Canva, always.
Just a personal project, whatever. Still use Canva.
That's a promo for Canva. We're sponsored by Canva.com.
Sponsored by Canva today.
Yeah, we made a post and I think it said, the first slide was why your self-care isn't working. And if you listen to the pilot season, that will ring a bell because that was the name of our first ever episode. Because we thought it was amazing. We were so proud of that phrase. We thought, oh God, that's clickbait.
Yeah.
There was a line in the post that was like,
yeah,
self-care, get yourself out of the bathtub and into the bathroom.
No, it was self-care is a patriarchal construct, patriarchal and capitalist construct to get you out of the boardroom and into, to keep you in the bathtub.
And out of the boardroom.
And that it was a, and our whole thing was that it was a kind of a gendered construct that made women spend money on ridiculous items like face masks and bubble bath bombs and kind of put off their work whilst men can kind of just float on into the office the next day.
Which I completely agree. It is 100% marketed at women.
Oh, a little white woman in a bubble bath.
But we were fuming for some reason. We were angry at Lush. We were taking it up with the Body Shop.
It was groundbreaking at the time. And now it's like, that's, I mean, on the stories that it, that was all you guys were saying. We're literally, I made the little question box and the first one that came through was like, yeah, it's completely capitalist. Like, it's just for privileged people. Like, it's a marketing ploy now. And I was like, oh, fuck, they've taken all of our points.
Yeah, completely.
Shit, what are we going to say?
But I think we were so proud of that because I think we really thought, like, God, we really thought of this ourselves. Like, this is really our own point.
Really was saying it back then.
No, I don't think they were, but this was only like a year ago, 2 years ago. When did we start this? Feels like a lifetime.
It was in 2019 that we started this.
And we were, honestly, we were taking issue with self-care.
We did, yeah, that was kind of our first victim.
Yeah, it was our first victim. But I mean, we were angry at self-care because we thought it was patriarchal, anti-feminist, and hugely kind of white supremacist, capitalist vibes.
But still love her. She's a problematic fave.
Do you love self-care? So do you practice self-care?
Yes, but I guess we'll get into it. Do you?
In ways, but not in the ways that I'm sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Right.
Yeah, we'll get into it, guys. So I screenshotted a few things. I actually did this yesterday, screenshotted these, but they're still relevant. My self-care is listening to your podcast. Obviously, I love this one. Okay. Researching history, watching docos, and learning. For me, it's taking time to feed my soul and nourish my passions, not spend $300 on skincare. I mean, you've summed it up. You've summed it fucking up. It's not about the conventional ways that we have sold self-care. And the other person, actually, that I screenshotted that really feeds in, they said, if it includes something marketed as self-care, it's probably not.
Mm.
And I think that's fucking true.
Our self-care ebook is triggered.
Yeah, the self-care ebook, well, it's cancelled anyway.
Which is gone now. It's out of, it was limited edition.
New things will be coming, guys, don't worry. We'll be vague, as usual, in true Seffy and Wing style.
Mm-hmm.
If it's neatly packaged and labelled and it's got big bubble writing self-care in pink writing, why on earth do you think that would be good for you and not for the company? It's not about you.
One of the questions... Yeah, completely. And surely when everyone has a different personality, let alone different trauma and different needs, how can one packaged kind of marketable self-care work for all of us? Surely there isn't a universal self-care. One of the questions that I put on the poll was, who benefits more from self-care, like from the self-care movement, the consumer or the company?
And everyone fucking said the company. So what are we doing?
The company. How could it not be?
How could it not be when it's, they're selling a product? A company does not release a product that does not benefit them.
I also think it's really problematic, and I think we said this in the all those years ago when we were kind of 15 years old, it feels like we were just babies. We kind of touched on how the image of self-care in kind of 2020 or the Instagrammable self-care is kind of a white woman in a bubble bath with like kind of some beautiful expensive products, really soft supple skin, etc, etc. I think in terms of race as well, of all of the women that you think need to be or kind of deserve a bit of a break, you think it's the white woman. You think it's a skinny white woman, not the actually marginalized women. Where are the black women, the fat women,
the working class women?
Yeah, the working class women.
It's the look of a middle class thin white privileged woman with some candles around her.
But that's kind of the thing with any Instagram movement, isn't it? And I think it's interesting how we feed into that too, that anything really that takes place on Instagram, which so much of social movements now do, will they ever not be co-opted by the white woman in the way that Instagram, I guess, is the white woman's platform, in the sense that the most liked pictures on Instagram will always be kind of a white girl in her bikini, a skinny white woman, skinny rich white woman, even, we could say. Any social movement at the moment gets so much momentum and power from social media, when self-care as a concept, as a theory, could be so beneficial to all of us, and we want to harness social media to get the word out, etc., can we expect it to not be kind of commodified by white, like skinny rich white women and the kind of old white men in suits that are capitalizing on it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's commodified by the white women, but kind of for the white men that are paying them to produce the adverts for them. So what you're seeing on the surface level is a skinny white woman in a bath saying, I love my new L'Oreal sort of face scrub, it's so good, and then selling that to kind of all the people that follow her. But she is also being paid by a company that is run by a boardroom of rich white men,
by Mr. L'Oreal, who's laughing his nut off all the way to the bank.
They're the ones rolling in the money, and then she's making a fee for the influence that she has, and then all the people below are the ones buying it, and those are the people that actually should not be wasting their money. No one should be fucking wasting your money, and the only person benefiting from this quote-unquote self-care is fucking Mr. L'Oreal.
Yeah, completely. I think it's the thing as well of reminding ourselves that white women can be both the oppressed and the oppressor.
Yeah.
While she isn't kind of at the top of that hierarchy of who's benefiting from that construct, she is very much upholding the system that keeps lower class or people of colour people
at the bottom
having to kind of work away without caring for themselves. So just because they can't, and it's really ridiculous. I remember we spoke about that book we saw, remember, that it was just like, go bathe in the ocean or something. Do you want to speak about that?
Oh my god, you've just triggered my fight or flight.
I know.
So we found this fucking book. So we lived in Brighton for 3 wonderful years.
We used to actually go out together. Can you believe? I used to see you in person. I'd cry at the thought.
I mean, the day we see each other in person, I mean, we're both sobbing.
I'm honestly gonna squeeze the living daylights out of you. I'm gonna be a hugger.
God, I'm already uncomfortable. I don't like the sound.
I'm kind of not gonna let you go.
Oh, I do not like the sound of that at all. Remind me to wear kind of a puffer jacket on that day. Keep my distance. But we found this book. We were in this kind of sort of very rich kind of, what is that shop called? Oliver Bonus type shop. It probably was, to be honest, Oliver Bonus.
Oliver Bonus. Very white woman shop. If you're kind of from the UK, you'll know Oliver Bonus.
I didn't until I went to uni. I was like, oh God, this is like a thing. People like this shop. There's this book called like A Guide to Self-Care, like something about self-care. Like real
kind of our book.
I think it was called Self-Care for Real People or something like that. And the irony of that, when we fucking looked inside, it had listed out things that you can do for your self-care, and one of them was like swim in the ocean, bake a little date pie, sort of things. It's like, how do you get to the ocean when you live in London,
when you live in the middle of a city with your kind of 10 kids?
How are you getting to the ocean?
Yesterday I did some DIY. I put together a big kind of chest, etc. I was kind of putting together some furniture, and I couldn't have, normally, I mean, as I said earlier, I always have my dog on my lap. That's a dog, and I couldn't have my dog around because he was going to cause problems. It's like, if I had kids and I didn't have anyone to give my kid to, which isn't an unreasonable scenario, there are so many people, I guess, not just women, who have children that it can be really like debilitating. It's like, well, this is why you can't kind of do all of the things that you want to, or why you can't kind of, what the Conservatives would say is, well, you would just go and, you know, you need to work hard, you need to go and get a second job. And it's like, but where do you expect me to put my offspring? What do you expect me to do with this human?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And to say self-care for ordinary people or for real people is swim in the ocean is so fucking blind.
And then talk about a kind of feta, beautiful, like mozzarella artichoke dip with kind of chive and honey.
It was that sort of thing. It was like have a lovely dinner party with your friends and family, here are some recipes, a little fig butter. It's like, shut the fuck up,
literally
shut the fuck up. You are so fucking ignorant. And then to put that in a shop and write on the top of it, this is for ordinary people. It's like, what sort of ordinary people do you know?
How out of touch can you be?
Yeah, how fucking blind are you? It's honestly tone deaf to write that book. And we looked at it and we were flicking through the pages. Honestly, we read it like a fucking novel. We were like, this is insulting. This is insane.
Cover to cover.
Insane.
In that half an hour and Oliver bonus, we were fumed.
Yeah, I know. They were like, so you do actually have to buy those if you want to read.
I'm going to have to purchase that.
We were like, no, we will not give them money.
But what kind of, how is that problematic? What are the impacts of that? So what's the impact of that book, for example?
The impact of that book is working class people that cannot get to the ocean. To be honest, ordinary people that pick up that book and go, oh, wow, this might be some tips for me.
The majority of people are not private school people. They're not kind of going to Eton and having dinner parties. That's a minority. This is my problem with calling people minorities. I know I said that in the other episode, but it's like, just because someone's not white doesn't mean they're a minority.
Yeah.
Actually, the rich people are the minority, you fucking cunt.
That's why it's called the 1%. It's pathetic. But I think the implications are people read it and they think, fuck off. You don't know anything. And then you feel shit. Oh, why can't I go to the ocean? That sounds great.
Yeah.
Plant your feet in the soil. I haven't seen soil in months.
Yeah.
It's just like, what are you talking about?
I don't have the time.
Yeah, I have to go to work.
I'm busy taking care of everybody else.
Sorry that I don't have time to whip up a quick meringue tonight. It's insane.
It's a joke.
But this is part of what I loved about this message, where they said that their self-care is researching history and watching documentaries and things like that, rather than the stereotypical face masks and dinner parties and spending time with the people you love that live in different continents and things like that. It's like, how the fuck do I do that?
Mm.
Or like, what a privilege to be able to just spend an evening with your family and things like this. I loved that she said unconventional things, i.e. researching history, because I do think the way that self-care is marketed is this blanket statement of beauty treatments. It's very
very generic,
sort of patronizing to women, i.e. just
get your nails done,
yeah, to massage your feet. Why would I do that? I like history and things like that. I'm not gonna just do this nice little female thing. No, I'm fucking as intelligent as you. I don't need to have a bath to relax. I'm gonna read fucking Jane Eyre. Like, shut the fuck up. Because also I think I had this realization the other day when I was in Portugal. So I was spending like an
extended period of time there, quite essentially in the middle of nowhere,
and I was actually very stressed out when I was there, just in a way. I was just I very much had to confront a lot of things, I think, about myself.
Oh god, we love to hear it.
It was a whole experience.
We do love to hear it.
I think I just had to confront quite a lot of stuff about my own ego and things like that, which,
quite a transformational period almost.
Definitely.
Always kind of is.
Honestly, every week is just a transformational period these days. But I was thinking, like, oh god, I really just need to fucking relax, like fucking just chill out. And it's like, okay, we'll have a bath and I have a sort of glass of wine, all of the fucking things that you see on TV and people tell you to do,
and it's so prescriptive.
And I couldn't relax for weeks. I was just like, right, just fucking relax, go on your walk. I mean, I walk constantly every day, but it's like, I'm not relaxing. And then one night I was like, right, I'm gonna watch a horror film. This is something I love to do. I studied film. I fucking studied horror in particular. And I watched Midsommar, which I had been wanting to see for so fucking long. And I watched Midsommar and I was so into it.
I think you should say as well that you wanted to watch Midsommar originally. When it came out, you were seeing a guy. And it was kind of somewhat in the plan that you were going to see it with him. And then obviously things fell through and blah, 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 blah. But that's why I think...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've just spoiled your punchline, but...
No, I completely agree.
That's why I think it's the added layer of self-care, because it's like you took the ownership of that film and didn't allow it to be taken to... And you just had the moment.
But I realised that halfway through the film, I realised, oh my God, because I definitely think I had a block around that film. I basically, whenever a new horror film comes out or a film that's like got that kind of content in, I watch it the minute it comes out. I'm up with the horror news.
Immediately.
Always. And I hadn't watched that film for a year. It's been out for a year now, Midsommar.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it. And I definitely think I had a block around it and I hadn't realised that it was about, I was supposed to see this with this guy and I never got to do that fun experience because he ended it. Cute. Just to be as explicit as possible.
Because he's a cunt.
Yeah, and I watched that film and I don't think I realised that until I was like halfway through the film, but I was so relaxed watching that film. It's literally a film like people's heads get bashed in. Like, it's quite traumatic. Like, it's utterly, utterly bleak film. But I was so relaxed. I was so...
At peace, at one with yourself.
It was almost like a very meaningful film. Like, this actor that I fucking love, Will Poulter, who I've loved since I was about 12.
It's quite a breakup film.
It is. It really is. But I was just so relaxed watching that film. And I just think that I came out of that film and I felt so renewed. It was just like, oh my God, like, that is how I relax. Like, I have to go into quite a traumatic film, a film that I love. Okay, so a bath isn't relaxing, but watching people's heads get bashed in a horror film with an amazing story and amazing script is relaxing, and an amazing soundtrack, an amazing actress, Florence Pugh, my queen, who I walked past in the street.
And absolutely died.
Died.
With Zach Braff, by the way, did you say that?
Yeah, I walked past Florence Pugh and Zach Braff.
Was he in his scrubs?
Yeah. And I screeched in her face.
And she was in her flower crown.
Yeah. And I just realised that moment, the way that you relax, it just cannot be prescribed by a fucking Instagram post, by anyone. Just relax, have a glass of wine. No, it doesn't relax me. I get more anxious and I can't sleep. No.
Yeah.
I need to watch a film that I love.
I also think self-care changes. It's like, yeah, on that day you just needed to watch a horror film, and on another day a bath would be amazing, and on another day it would look like sitting down and writing something, and on another day it would look like playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah, completely.
Because I think you need different things at different moments, and so this universal package, not only is it not like possible, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why should your relaxation look like anything that someone can write down? Kind of, you need to have a good cry. It's like, well, I don't really feel like fucking crying. I feel like going ice skating.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you think self-care and relaxation and relaxing go hand in hand?
I think they're marketed as if they do, but my hypothesis, my argument is that they don't go hand in hand always. I think, sure, if you're knackered, you need to relax.
Mm.
But if you've been, for example, I think, especially with quarantine, there's a lot of time spent in the house. There's a lot of time spent kind of in your pajamas and things like that, which are things that are marketed as self-care. But right now, self-care might be doing something fucking terrifying. Might be doing something like going to the pub with your friends. But I don't think it needs to get the title of self-care.
Yeah, self-care might be kind of taking the bins out, otherwise you're going to be living in a pigsty. And that's not a pleasant activity, but that is self-care.
But I think I don't really like something about the term self-care. It's like, okay, so now I'm taking the bins out. I'm like, this is my self-care. It's like, God, get a grip.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of my thing with intuitive eating. Have we spoken about that?
Yeah, we have, yeah.
On the pod?
Oh, I was like, yeah, we have all the time. I think we have in a body image episode.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of think if you have been kind of lucky enough to grow up with a reasonably kind of, I don't want to say normal, but there's nothing necessarily atypical about your relationship with food, then you will naturally be intuitively eating. And yet we have to fucking stamp it with a beautiful name and try and sell it.
Yeah. Intuitive eating. It's just called healthy eating.
Intuitive eating. It's like, it's just eating whenever you're hungry.
It's just eating.
Just eating what you want when you want. And I get that intuitive eating can be a really, really helpful tool, but I just also hate that we have to market things and come up with buzzwords for things, particularly when it's always targeted, ultimately, at a woman staring at her phone, trying to find ways to appease her misery.
It's a little bit Gwyneth Paltrow to be like, this is intuitive eating. It's like, now you're just selling me back normal eating and you're putting a fucking brand on it.
Give me a crystal to put up my vagina.
But it's kind of like when she started to brand up walking barefoot, Gwyneth Paltrow tried to market that, and it's like, that's just called walking, and you're trying to like market that. It's the most free thing you can do in the world. Take your shoes and socks off. It's the most free thing, and you're trying to monetize that.
So wait, you actually thought a shoe was a real thing?
You're going to try and market me breathing?
Like, you're so embedded in the tangible world that you actually thought clothes were a thing.
Embarrassing.
Everything's a construct. It's not real. A shoe is just a shoe. It's not something that you have to wear always to cover your feet. You could be living in a completely different realm where a shoe is not... Oh, anyway.
It's mental. I mean, I think that we're going too abstract there. A shoe is not real.
But don't you think that's true? Like... it's so narrow-minded.
It's when it's like people that are like, right, you just need to learn to breathe properly. It's like, all right, we're marketing breathing, are we now? We're marketing how to breathe, which I do think is a really important tool for anxiety and all this stuff, but it's like, it's not marketed in that way. It's marketed in like a cleansing, healing sort of white women in a circle holding hands, all breathing together in the grass. It's like, is this productive? Or is this a symbol of a symptom of privilege?
Is this what you needed?
Is this what you needed, or did you need to divorce your husband?
Yeah, literally. And I think often self-care is just kind of the face mask, if you will, the mask over the actual issues. And I think it can be dangerous if it's like a distraction. If you think, well, I'm really good with my self-care. I have a bath every week and I take an hour to myself and I read my favorite book and I drink my favorite wine and I put my favorite face mask on and nothing, it's still not working. And it's like, but you haven't addressed the fact that you hate your job and your husband's cheating on you.
Completely that. Completely.
So a face mask won't change that, unfortunately, but you can. I was just gonna go back to the shoe thing. I was gonna say,
no, go on, let's go to the shoe thing.
I was gonna say, I think the pandemic as well, I hate to bring it up,
yeah, honestly, elephant in the room,
the Roni really made people realize that all of these things like shoes, but it's like, back in April you hadn't worn your shoes for kind of 25 days and they were, yeah, like, well, have she died, where's she gone? You thought your job was everything. You thought you had to be there every single day, but now they've sent you, oh, you could have worked from home this whole time, could I?
Exactly.
And I think the pandemic made people confront not only the fact that they have to be busy all the time in order to distract themselves from their own thoughts.
Misery.
But also the fact that so much of just the world that we've grown to know is just a construct and it can all fall apart at any moment. It's very, very fragile.
I think that's one of the most important messages from the pandemic, other than fucking... stay fucking safe. This is a nightmare. The Tories don't give a shit about us.
I feel like we all forgot about wash your hands. I'm kind of thinking people aren't washing their hands anymore, are you?
I'm thinking people aren't fucking doing the lockdown anymore.
No, they're not.
I mean, I literally see people, they're not fucking doing it. I think it's beyond washing your hands. I don't think people are, they're like, fuck this.
But I think the washing their hands, I mean, there were everywhere you look. It was like people were doing kind of little videos of them washing their hands.
Oh yeah, and singing a little song.
And now I just know your hands are full of bacteria, right?
But I think this is one of the most important things. I think the pandemic changed everything in terms of how people view themselves and how they're situated within the society and how easily how they perceive their role can be dismantled just with honestly the click of your boss's fingers.
Yeah.
And you are irrelevant to your job.
Well, you've been told, you've got a shit job, you've got a shit job, you've got a shit job. Oh, now you're an essential worker. You're essential. The sacrifice you've made. It's like, no, I signed up to work at the supermarket. I didn't sign up to die for my country? Dolce et decorum est.
Yeah, Dolce et decorum est. We're literally Wilfred fucking Owen these days.
Literally.
It's insane. Yeah, the idea of you're on the front lines. It's like, no, we're not an army. I'm not giving my life. I'm getting paid fucking minimum wage to be a nurse. Do not pretend and tell me, oh, you're doing this for the good of the country. No, I'm fucking not. I've done this for years and you're not upping my pay.
I'm doing this because I was conned into it because I was told that I'd get a bursary when I went to uni and I didn't because you scrapped it.
I mean, the Tories are cunt.
And now I'm just... Anyway, how do you care for yourself really when the government hate you? That's the question.
It's so true.
One of the questions that we asked on the story when we were preparing for this episode was, do you prefer to be busy or not busy? And everyone We heard you loud and clear. Prefers to be busy.
Busy, busy, busy.
Why do you think that is? I know we say it all the time, but we don't often say it on the pod.
What was the question?
Why do we think everyone prefers to be busy?
Because they're trying to distract themselves from the internal misery that is human existence.
To be honest, in summary, in conclusion.
In summation, it is that you are just trying to fill the void with whoever, whatever, wherever you can, rather than looking at the fact that, again, you want to divorce your husband, you hate your job, you hate your life, you're bored.
You resent the decisions you've made.
I mean, we've spoken about this time and time again, is why people, I mean, especially on Instagram, we've spoken about this a lot, why people are dying to get back to their jobs is because they are so bored. And it's like, what do you mean you're bored? You're bored of your life. You need to have a job that's so boring. You just need to be paid to be bored somewhere else. Mental.
As in people are bored that they're not at their job.
People are bored that they're not at their jobs. And therefore they're like, right, okay, at least I'll be paid to be bored at my job and be doing something.
Yeah, it's like, wait, so you're trying to tell me you're not bored when you're at work, or you're not miserable when you're at work.
Yeah, but they just need to be doing, they just want to be doing something. But it's like, no, you can do something fun.
Yeah,
you're being furloughed, you don't need this for the money, you just want to be there, so you're doing something to be away from your thoughts. That to me is mental illness.
I agree. I think a lot of people have to be busy to distract themselves, yeah, from all of the misery. But do we also just think, in the way that it's like, when you're at work you're like, god, I'd do anything to get at home, then people go home and they're like, oh, I just want the routine, I want to be back at work. Is it about needing to be busy to cover up the fact that they hate themselves and they hate their life? Or is the general existence of humans just quite miserable? And yet we've been told, we've been made to feel that we should be happy all the time, but actually most of us are just kind of plain all the time, just mild feelings.
I heard a really good thing quite a while ago now, but they said, whatever you do, you'll regret it.
Yeah, whatever option you take, you're going to wish you were doing the other one.
So true. If you're not at work, you wish you're at home. And if you're at home, you wish you're at work. If you go to the party, you wish you were at home. If you stayed at home, you wish you were at the party. I mean, whatever you do, you'll regret it. If you move house, you'll hate it. If you don't move house, you'll hate it. There's something about acknowledging that you're always, always, always going to be a little bit dissatisfied with your existence, and then trying to find some joy in that.
I always say to my boyfriend, whenever he makes a stressful decision, and then he's made the decision and we're doing it, I'm like, right, well, we've made the decision now, so let's at least come to peace with the decision that we've made. There's no point coming to this conclusion and then still stressing about the old one. I think it also comes into the kind of toxic positivity, quote unquote, thing online.
Happiness myth.
Yeah, and the fact that kind of we're just made to feel like we should be operating kind of buzzing through life and so enthusiastic about things. But actually, I think when I say like only the minority of people have experienced kind of riches, that leaves the majority of people having a lot of things in life. I'm not saying you have to have money to be satisfied, but I think the majority of people have a lot of things in their life that they're not, like, they wouldn't have necessarily chosen. But I think you're made to feel like you have to be super happy all the time and blah, 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 blah. Mm. But actually, do you know what I mean? And I think, is it about the fact that we want to be busy all the time to distract ourselves? Or is it just because whatever you do, you're just going to be miserable? Because most of us are miserable, but social media and et cetera, makes you feel like everyone else is happy and you should be too. Kind of everyone else is having a better time than you.
Or everyone else is having a better time. Everyone else is working harder. Everyone else is prettier than you. Everyone else is more smart than you. Everyone else is just in a better place than you.
Better. Just an all-round better bloke than you.
Just all-round better. You're just isolated in your misery. And therefore, it's like, okay, well, I should go to work to do this. I think it's a bit of both, in that there is an element of distraction with work. And I think that is the bit to fight against. That's the bit that's like, oh, if I just distract myself. It's like, well, literally distract yourself with anything other than trying to make someone else rich.
What are you distracting yourself from? That would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
What are you distracting yourself from?
If your coping mechanism is a distraction, please don't make it sitting at a desk sending emails. Please don't make it that. Make it anything. Go swimming. Do anything, anything, anything.
Go to the ocean.
Go to the ocean. Plant your feet in the soil.
And make your kind of cabbage roux.
Yeah, sounds lovely. But when you're being furloughed anyway, you don't need this money. It's coming to you anyway. Don't be desperate to go back to work. What's the point?
It's kind of, it's Marx told, it's just like false class consciousness. It's just like, well, I made this choice and I'm happy here. I think it's the false sense of autonomy that people take so much, because our job is our identity. It's kind of, hi, how are you? What's your name? What do you do? I think you take that away from people, as we say, especially with the pandemic, and it just is so shaking to the core that it's like, who am I?
Yeah.
It's like, what am I without this? And so that's the same thing with self-care. It's like, what do I actually need? I think it's about, I heard a phrase the other word. I'd never heard it before. Navel gazing. Have you heard of that?
No, what's that? No.
I'm a big navel gazer. I'd say you are too.
What is it?
It's apparently someone who really spends a lot of time thinking about their own thoughts and their own behaviours and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow. Hobby. It's the hobby.
Yeah, big time navel gazer. Yeah. It should be the Navel Gazers podcast.
I don't really like it as a phrase.
I quite like the name because it feels quite navel gazer. It feels like you should be taking a shot out of someone's belly button.
That's what I was thinking. Navel is a bit belly button.
It's a bit sexual.
But gazing, obviously, I'm obsessed with.
Well, anyway, I think a lot of people need to do a bit of navel gazing, really. And that's what self-care is.
That's why people go, they force themselves into kind of, okay, well, I'll do my volunteering here and I'll do this here and I'll stay busy, busy, busy. I'll meet this person here and I'll do that and I'll do that. So they don't have to do any quote unquote navel gazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing that people are trying to distract themselves from. The idea of going internal. That's why therapy is great, because you've allotted yourself an amount of time that you are going to go deep and you're going to cry and it's going to be a lot. But it's important that you do that so that then you don't do things like, okay, well, I'll just stay with my abusive boyfriend.
Do you think therapy is a universal self-care? I kind of think I do.
Well, I have been known to push therapy in the way that I think it is the fucking best thing I've ever done.
I think it's the be-all and end-all of life.
No, I think it's the most life-changing fucking thing. I always, always, always encounter people that are like, it didn't work for me, it didn't work for me. And I'm always like, I don't fucking believe you, you didn't try properly. But that I do maybe have to believe them that it didn't work for them.
But I almost think you can have the wrong therapist.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you could find a therapy that would work for you. I just almost think, yeah, it's not going to work for you if you just refuse to talk. I guess this is us coming from our ivory tower. Yeah, you kind of just think, well, you're not doing it properly, you idiot, because it's really good for me.
I just think it was life-changing, absolutely life-changing experience.
Yeah, life-changing. We, both of us, wouldn't have this podcast.
No.
Without us being in therapy.
We wouldn't be able to speak like this in the same way. In the way that it's quite triggering, for example, to talk about things like, I don't know, for me, it's quite triggering to talk about things like body image, because it feels very close to home. But because you've been in a space where you're speaking about all of this stuff, you're opening up a dialogue that's really important and allows you to see yourself fully.
I think people are fools, and I do this too. I just think we're fools to assume or kind of keep ourselves in the kind of false safety net of just kind of acting like talking about things doesn't change our own perception of situations and doesn't benefit our own growth. Of course it does. I think we just all kind of think, oh, I don't need to talk to anyone about that because I've kind of come to terms with it in my own way. It's like, you will not believe the things that will come out of your mouth.
It happens to every single person that has like a long course of therapy that I speak to. You go in with a target of like, okay, I want to discuss this specific thing, and by the end you go in with point A, you come out on point sort of 11. You're on numbers now. It's like you go in just crazy directions, and the root of it is something you never thought about, or the thing that you were just like, yeah, that happened and it's nothing.
Yeah.
So actually the root of this is your childhood trauma every time.
Freud jumps out
or something. It's just so important.
It is, yeah.
If you want to get busy in that.
Do you think it's universal? I do. I just can't see how the right therapist couldn't. I just think it's not going to do any harm.
Yeah, in that way, yeah.
I think it is about finding the right therapist, though. Like, I think if you're a woman, I think it would be a specific scenario where having a male therapist would benefit you. Like, if you're a person of colour, I don't see how having a white therapist could be more beneficial to you than having...
That's what I was just going to say, yeah. Just atrocious. Just like, you cannot help me in any way. Like, there is no way that you can relate
to an experience. Just, it's not even about having, because then people are like, oh, I've got someone who relates to me, I've got everything I need, blah 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 blah. But it's like, it's also about having someone who's trained and fully equipped to steer you in all of the right directions to help you. Like, you don't want to be helped, do you? All right, fine.
No, people don't.
No, they don't.
Absolutely. The number of people that I've spoken to, in a way that we... So do you remember we were speaking a few episodes ago that people kind of tell us things that are quite intimate, probably because we skip the small talk and we have this podcast or whatever, and we speak in a certain way that people feel like they're in therapy at times, which I do love. I love an intense conversation, but it's sometimes a bit much. The number of times I've been in conversations with people where it's been hours and hours and hours of trying to essentially solve their problems, and it's exhausting, draining, mm-hmm. absolutely too much, not getting paid for this, didn't sign up, I've got things to do. And then at the end, you kind of suggest something like, I think you'd really benefit from therapy, because essentially that's what I've just been doing for fucking hours. And they go, no, I just wouldn't benefit. I've had it before and it just didn't help me. Like, I wouldn't be good with it. And they just come up with...
But it's like, do you feel better after this long conversation that I've just given you?
Yes. Or kind of, I'm busy on Tuesdays, I can't do it. Oh no, my mum had therapy 2 years ago and she said that the man said was rude to her. Just come up with any reason why they wouldn't do it. Oh no, I've got dance lessons on Friday. It's like, who said anything about Friday?
I think people love their own misery, and also I think it's just mental. I hate to say mental, but in this day and age, there's still a stigma, or it feels kind of a bit radical to actually go and do it, which is so unfortunate. I honestly think every single person would benefit.
I think it feels a bit LA. Like, it feels like, oh yeah, I'm just going to text my therapist about it. It feels like you think you're a movie star.
Yeah. I also think a lot of people think it's like a problem, like you're kind of a problem child. Like, oh, you've just kind of...
Bit snowflake generation.
Kind of a wacky, yeah, suicidal, like, piece of shit. Like, that sort of thing. Like,
I've almost always saw it as quite glam. Like, quite a glamorous thing. I'm off to therapy. I quite liked it.
Well, it's obviously a massive privilege.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, because it really... I just think it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be.
There are amazing charities, actually, that do it. There'll be, like, POC therapists that only work with POC.
Yeah.
Essentially for free, that are charities. And obviously you can go through the NHS, but it's just a fucking process.
You just have to really do some research.
The NHS process is, I mean, I've seen people that have gone through that and it's just long.
Yeah.
And you've got to kind of go in sobbing or you don't get to see anyone.
Which isn't a problem for someone like me.
No. Turn it on. Tell me anything. I'm ready to go.
I said to my boyfriend yesterday, I was crying yesterday, and my boyfriend was like, oh, don't get upset. And I was like, I'm not getting upset. I just am upset always. And I just tap in and out of the feeling.
It's like, if you're not upset, you're not paying attention to this world. The world is upsetting.
Yeah.
The world is triggering.
It's like, I'm not just crying now. I'm just allowing the tears to come out. They're always there.
Yeah. So one of the questions was, do you blur the lines between self-care and procrastination? And 74% of people said yes, they do.
I knew they would. I knew they would.
Knew it. Of course you do, because it's marketed as we were saying, it's marketed as relaxation, kind of.
Unwind.
Have a bath, have a rest, and all those things. Unwind from your dreadful life.
Yeah.
That's how it's marketed. Your life is so bad. Relax. And it's like, can I not make my life good? Can that not be the focus?
Yeah. I heard actually an interesting thing. I feel like all I ever do, considering the fact that I actually don't ever listen to any podcasts, all I do on this podcast is recommend that you turn off our podcast and go and listen to another one. But I think it's called Caught Off Guard with Patricia Bright. She's great.
From TOWIE? No, I was thinking of Lydia Bright.
No, but I do also love her.
They've got a podcast called The Brights.
The Bright Family. Remember did she message us once?
Is she Britpop Princess?
Yeah, Patricia Bright is. But remember Lydia Bright from TOWIE? We had a little interaction.
She's a priestess back in the day.
Question with her at the beginning, probably about
Lydia
the selfie.
Bright loved
us. Yes. Yeah, back in the self-care episode times. Yeah. Anyway, Patricia Bright has an episode of her podcast Caught Off Guard with Grace Beverly, the artist formerly known as Grace Fit, who, again, another priestess. They're coming out of our ears.
Yeah, Grace Fit, she loves us too.
Oh, and it's mutual.
Oh, and believe, well, to be honest, it's not mutual, because she doesn't give a shit about us and we just love her.
No. She was saying on that podcast about how self-care, for her at least, isn't always not doing her work. For her, self-care is making sure that she's working to her deadlines, being really proactive, getting things done, being really busy, and making sure that she's keeping essentially her business growing. And it's like, to be honest, yeah, for you, your self-care today might be finishing your fucking homework, you idiot.
Yeah.
Stop listening to this podcast and procrastinating and go and do all the things. I'm thinking this is the homework for this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm into it.
I think it's do something difficult, because I think self-care is not always easy and beautiful. We said before, self-care often is ugly and difficult and hard. It's the things that you're putting off. That's why it's you actually caring for yourself.
It's about difficult conversations and doing things that give you anxiety. I think nothing is harder than having that conversation that you've put. We all have a conversation right now that we're putting off with someone. I mean, I can name a about 10 conversations that need to happen between me and people in my life that have just not happened because they're fucking hard, they're terrifying, they have the potential to kill the relationship if they don't meet it and things like that. So, I mean, it's just the time to do something hard, guys.
Like, for example, this podcast is my pride and joy, but this was not born out of self-care in the traditional sense. This was born out of the self-care of really doing something so fucking weird and random and like ridiculous and outrageous and kind of mortifying ourselves and really pushing our boundaries of what was capable. Most people ask us, how do you start a podcast? It's like, you have to be out of pocket, be on Google 24/7, and really, if you're starting from scratch, it's gonna feel, we used to say, you're starting not from scratch, you're starting from scraps.
Scraps around you.
It feels scrappy.
Scrappy do. God, we love the word scraps.
Yeah, and I think self-care actually is about, if what we're trying to do is tighten the gap between who we are and who we want to be, what does that person have? Who you want to be? Who are they? What do they have? What are their accolades? What are the things that they, what are their privileges?
How did they occupy their space in the world?
Then how do you get there? And they don't get there by sitting around with their face mask on. I wish they did, but they don't.
This is the sad bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is sad.
The marketing around self-care and how we're all told to take care of ourselves is so easy.
It keeps you in the bathtub and out of the boardroom.
Yeah, we were fucking right back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
They're only ever telling women, stay at home. It's no coincidence that the things they're telling you to do are domestic. They're based in the domestic sphere where women are supposed to be, quote unquote, in the patriarchy's dream world, which it already is. Women are in the bath, they're in the kitchen, kind of cooking a lovely date salad. I don't know why I'm having a go at dates today. I fucking love dates.
Dates?
I love them.
I would actually love a date or two.
Yeah. It's no coincidence that they're all based in the home. It's not, oh, your self-care is get that promotion. No, it's not that.
Yeah. Your self-care is do a new skill, but start, become an ice skater. I've got a real thing with ice skating at the moment. Have you noticed? I said it to you the other day. Remember, I was like, I go ice skating once and I'm like, I need to do this quarterly. I'm doing this again within the next 3 months. Otherwise, I'm a failure.
I kind of have had a thing with, basically, whenever something goes right for us, i.e. when we get in a magazine or something like that, I'm kind of like, or like even an exciting email, I'm kind of like, I need to go ice skating. I need to be on ice.
Honestly.
I need my body to match my mind.
Priestess on ice.
We need to stop saying priestess.
I know. I can't get it out of my stinking mouth.
We need to keep up with the branding. This is a professional podcast, guys. With the new branding. But yeah, it's no coincidence that the things they want you to do are very easy. They're very female, quote unquote, they're very feminine.
They're simple.
In the home, non-threatening to men. It doesn't threaten a man if you wear a face mask. To be honest, he likes that your skin's looking good. It does threaten a man, however, for you to say, oh, right, I'm going to learn to drive, so I'm not dependent on my husband, who has always been the driver of the family.
If you've been putting off learning to drive, and you can do that where you are right now, obviously safely, if you're listening to this when the pandemic is going on, which, to be honest, I can't imagine how you wouldn't be, you should absolutely get that moving.
The biggest skill a woman can learn, I'm convinced.
Do you think? Yeah.
In the way that you cannot walk anywhere once the sun has gone down without fearing for your life, I genuinely think driving is one of the most liberating skills. The fact you can take yourself across the country on your own.
Until they follow you to the car.
That's the fear. Then you have to check the boot and all of that shit. But that's pathetic that we live in this world.
Yeah, look behind you when you get in the driver's seat.
Yeah, which I do every time I check the boot.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrified, because I am too informed. It's like how I would love to live ignorantly. But I would get murdered that way.
Did we talk about that person who doesn't have the fear? They can't feel, I literally don't know who they are, I can't remember this. It was back in school days. We learned about this person who doesn't have fear. They can't experience fear. And they've had so many near-death experiences. Because you're just kind of walking on the motorway or like getting kind of held at gunpoint. Because you need a bit of a healthy amount of fear.
Well, we've evolved to have fear for some reason.
This week, the homework is challenge it.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone so you don't grow in your comfort zone.
We're talking about fight or flight. We're choosing to fight this week.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, love that.
We're choosing to fight. We're looking our problems head on. If you have social anxiety, you're scared of going to sit in a cafe or something, you're going to a cafe. Actually, you're not. They're all closed. You're going to sit in a park on your own and read a book in the freezing cold. You're like, we're doing the scary fucking things this week.
Yeah, I wish, you know what I would love, but again, Roni got in the way, to say this week, if you can financially do this, go to the cinema on your own. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, most empowering moment of my life.
I haven't yet done it, and now I'm like, for fuck's sake, they're all shut.
I did it kind of because, do you know what I fucking saw as well? I'm angry at myself that I saw this. Also, what was quite embarrassing about it was, so I did a gap year. I was very alone on my gap year.
A gap year. We didn't know each other. Don't be angry with me for leaving her on her own. I literally hadn't met her.
We didn't know each other. Yeah, we met at uni. It's not Aaron's fault. I mean, I did a gap year, but I had a really good job, blah, blah, blah. I went to Japan. It was really good.
You did a lot of navel gazing that year.
I did. I just became the person I am. I was also defeated from my loss. My battle against Exeter University had been defeated, and I had a lot of ego.
Yeah.
I had a lot of ego to kill.
Fuck you if you went there, and I'm joking.
Yeah, so I went to the cinema on my own. I drove there, and I was so excited to see the worst film in the world with my worst actor in the world, The Danish Girl, starring Eddie Redmayne. I fucking despise that cunt. That private school. little rubbery lip man who's so awful. Bumhole mouth.
Yeah, bumhole mouth. I hate to insult someone's appearance, but also big old smile on my face while I say it.
Bumhole mouth.
Bumhole mouth.
And I sat there, and what was awful about it, so I was like, right, okay, I'm gonna go and fucking see this film. I really want to see this film for some reason. Because it is a great concept, but fucking awful because he's in it.
Is he not nominated for an Oscar for that?
Yeah, they fucking love him. The world loves that guy.
Did he win it even?
Probably. They love him. They're up his little bumhole mouth.
The Academy love, they're so far up his bumhole mouth.
That Academy. I went to go see that, but the awful thing was my sister was also going to see it the same day, and she's like, you can just come with me. And I was like, no, the whole point is that I go on my own. The whole point is I go on my own. And I thought I had kind of got a different showing to them.
You thought you'd broken the glass ceiling.
But no, they were sitting at the front of the thing, obviously thinking, why is she not sitting with us? I was like, no, guys, I want to do this on my own.
It's a statement.
Yeah, so I sat at the back on my own, and my sister was at the front like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh my god. Yeah. That's hilarious.
I hate the film. I hate that man. I actually don't hate the film. I actually remember the film being good. I hate his face. I hate that posh face.
Yeah.
Him and Benny Cumberby.
Yeah, Benny Cumberby.
Bleak,
well.
Bleak people.
Where did this go?
Self-care.
Shall we wrap? Are we done here?
Yeah, I think we're donezo.
I'm donezo. I need to get in the bath and put a face mask on.
Yeah, I need to. I honestly need to work my butt off today. It's writing day round here. It is writing day.
It's big time. It's kind of deadline day.
Yeah, it's deadline day. We need to get to it.
So this week, get yourself out of your comfort zone and do something that you... I think do something that's scary, that's going to get you closer to being the person you want to be.
Oh, I love that so much.
Small, manageable, but scary. Brilliant, but scary.
Yeah, brilliant. Kind of it's like eat 3 meals today.
Yeah.
You know, do the things that...
If you haven't had a shower in a week, you need to have a shower, and you're going to do that after you listen to this.
Yeah, exactly.
That, it can literally just be that.
We're doing good things.
But I'm going to be doing something big. I don't know about you, but... You can have your little shower, and I'm going to come back and really impress you next week.
Yeah, we've got to come back and feedback. Because all I'm doing this time is paying my sister the fair price to do some nails. So I need to do something better.
Me too.
But also, I love that we've added this to the podcast. I just feel like we're really actively... Also, if you're not listening to this week by week and you're just kind of, I don't know, you find this in a year to come and you're kind of listening to these day by day.
Yeah, you're not exempt.
No. If you're listening to this in 2022... If the world is still going.
It does feel like we haven't had a 2020, doesn't it? To me, it feels bizarre that we're going into 2021. I still very much feel like I'm getting my head around 2020.
Although I've seen the number 2020 too many times for my life.
More than I've seen any number.
I'm sick and tired of that number. 20, it's like every other tweet is just 2020, 20, is that? 2020. I can't be asked.
That's true.
Don't want to be reminded.
Yeah, fair enough.
Also, it's just going to get worse and worse, isn't it? It's this whole idea of, oh, when 2020 is over, it'll be great. It's like, guys.
Well, I'm quite seeing the light with Trump being humiliated.
Best fucking moment. Although, yeah. A glimmer of hope, because obviously Biden is a sexual predator.
Exactly.
But a glimmer of hope.
Lots of things to do. But just to see a disgusting man humiliated. It's always nice, isn't it? Wouldn't say no.
And just not be able to lose. Just to be like, you cheated. It's just like, oh, I'd love to see you squirm.
Love to see your downfall. Yeah, let's go before we get kind of assassinated for upsetting a Trump supporter.
Right, I'm happy to be.
Or kill me, I'll die a martyr.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, we're heading down that road.
See you next week, or not. Ha ha ha. I just died in your arms tonight. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.